Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
With the school term back in full swing, many children obviously excited to see friends and get back to a level of routine. But for some families, that return to school can bring a lot of struggles, anxiety, fear, and in some cases, even school refusal. So how do parents navigate that challenge? The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Christine is with me on the line today. Christine, you're very welcome to the programme and thanks for joining us.
Hi, Andrea.
Is this a common theme in your household?
Well, it was. We're through it now. But well, we're through it now because two of my children didn't actually end up finishing school. But yeah, and it's becoming more and more because I've been through it. I'm always looking out first. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can see parents. There's a few Facebook pages going with kind of support where parents can go on and say, "Oh my God, this has happened in my house today," and things like that. So it's just becoming so common. But unfortunately, I just think the government are still sticking their head in the sand about it because it's still, sure, they'll have to just get on with it. Your kids just have to go and parents are going to have to be stricter in that. But in the majority of situations, the parents are doing and have done everything.
Yeah. Like, can you share a bit of your own experience, Christine, with us?
Yeah, well, I mean, it probably started about 10 years ago at this stage with my son in third class. So everything was fine. Like, I mean, I've worked in early years education all my working life. So I'm the one that's equipped to send kids off to school in the best possible way. So I never thought it would happen in my house. Do you know what I mean? But he kind of started in third class basically with a male teacher for the first time with this reputation of being strict and stern. And so that kind of started his anxiety. So it'd be hiding under the bed, literally the far corner of the bed, hiding under it. You'd have to nearly drag him out by the arm to get him out, get him to school, holding on to the school railings, doing all these kind of things, you know. But he actually got through it. By the end of that year, he was like, actually, ma'am, he's actually all right. I kind of like him. And, you know, he got through it and it was great.
Good.
But the problem was after that, there was a new principal, and I won't mention any schools or anything like that, but there was a new principal that had come along around the same time and witnessed this, you know, bad behaviour in her eyes, that the child wasn't doing what he was told, going into school, this kind of thing. So the next few years just turned into hell for him because she just picked on him. So
because you feel he was dealing with a lot of anxiety at home and
yeah, he wasn't doing what he was told, basically.
Right,
he wasn't
okay.
Just listening to his parents and walking in like
okay.
A good little boy should, you know, that kind of way. So the worry and that didn't compute with her at all. Like there was, even when I mentioned anxiety, I mean, it would literally be, you'd see a smirk on the face kind of and an eye roll to be a 10-year-old, for God's sake, you know, this kind of way. So that kind of started it, and I could go on for 3 years or two about what went on there. But basically, it wasn't until into sixth class we actually had to just take him out of school and move him because there was so much, you know, he'd been pulled up on things. He was being pulled up on being involved in things that he wasn't even in on that school day.
And this sixth class in primary school, Christine, it was in primary school.
So,
and then going through secondary, how did that
well,
go?
Well, it kind of just then, he just couldn't settle anywhere. He tried, we tried. I mean, it was the excitement, the getting new things, the going in, it was all done. And in fairness, at that time in that school, the staff did do, like, I wouldn't fault the school one bit. They tried, they'd come out and meet him. When he would go in, they'd be so, there was two particular teachers took an interest in him. Because I think one of the teachers, her sister, was going through the same. So she just had that, she knew what was going on. And then basically, I think really because of that, his younger sister, who is the little toughie of the household, we thought, should, thank God, at least she'll be great. But I think because she basically kind of grew up looking at just stress around school, you know, kind of arguments in the morning, you know, get up and go to school, you have to go to school, you have to do this, you have to do that. Seeing him get, I mean, at one stage he got violently vomited 5 Sunday nights in a row, but we didn't. We didn't at the time because we were in it all. We were like, God, this is the weirdest bug I've ever seen. Like, why does it just keep coming back? But in hindsight, we now know things that were being said and done. He was just so terrified of going in.
So anxious about that return to school every Monday. And like the impact that has, you know, Christine, is, as you said, even on the household and the other siblings in the house too, it can be very difficult. Can I bring in Alwyn Moore and Christine for a moment? Just stick with me there because Alwyn is a neurodevelopmental therapist and founder of CogniClinic.ie. It's very difficult for parents like Christine, Alwyn, to, you know, to navigate situations like that.
Hi, Andrea. Yes, it is. Absolutely. And I can only imagine the stress that was in Christine's household, you know, for so long. It does, unfortunately, then often translate to younger siblings, too, because, you know, I suppose if we want to reframe it, it's school refusal. Really, it's not kids refusing to go to school just because they don't want to. It's actually something physiological. And the more you try to dismiss it, the harder and the bigger it becomes for them. So a better way to look at it is to reframe it as school avoidance or school-based anxiety. And it's really important that in using the term anxiety, particularly with children, that you don't allow them to say, I have anxiety, or, you know, that they own the anxiety. It's that they are anxious about a situation. It's external to them. So, you know, just to frame that in case we're talking about, you know, kind of a school-based anxiety thing there. There is a huge rise, unfortunately.
Is there a rise or is it that there's greater awareness, Alwyn, around it and that we're maybe talking about it more?
I think post-COVID, there's a big disruption to routine and social kind of stamina. So, you know, many children, they never kind of fully rebuilt that tolerance for a full structured day. And then, you know, particularly after that long summer break as well, you know, kind of when they're starting back to school, that is an absolute shock to the system. It's a genuine re-entry shock. You know, they've had weeks upon weeks of no bell and no timetable and no homework and, you know, in a lot of cases, no separation from parents. And, you know, kind of they could get up at whatever time they wanted to in the morning. And, you know, then they're really, boom, straight back into its structure, its discipline. It's, you know, you need to get out of the bed. We throw the breakfast into you, get into the car, or, you know, kind of get to school, walking, however way you get to school, that actually can build. So, you know, I always say to parents, it's really important how you start your day with kids because that carries with them throughout the day. So if everybody's amped up in the mornings, then everybody kind of tends, and we all know it, like if our mornings are a bit chaotic and crazy, it does, your cortisol baseline is raised throughout the day. So you have less resilience then to deal with what's needed and how you need to perform in school, and you become much more vulnerable to, you know, kind of maybe if somebody is trying to get you back into the seat or trying to get you focused, or, you know, you become much more vulnerable and sensitive to those things. It's so much more difficult.
I imagine there's some of the maybe texts and emails I'd kind of like to come to if I get a chance here in a moment, Alwyn, but I can take from some of the texts coming in, Christine, that it must be very lonely for parents as well, you know, experiencing this at home.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest thing because you're going through it and people, you're getting probably well-meaning comments, but from family and friends, you're getting, God, isn't it a pity now they wouldn't just get up and go? Isn't it a pity now, you know, and this kind of thing. And, oh, God, yeah, it's all... It's just not really understanding it. So then you get to the point where you actually don't really want to talk about it anymore because you're not, you know, you're not being really understood and you feel bad for the child and you feel like you're being judged because it's like you can't be letting them. Like you hear on the radio all the time, parents are going to have to just get stricter with their kids and that. But really in most of this, like with my daughter, she's the one that has gone through it most recently. They try everything, like it got... getting prepared, all I'm saying about, you know, the build up to getting them. That was actually, we were doing well with that. They'd be thinking, this is it. This is going to be it now. I'm going to go in. It's going to be good. We'd go and we'd get the stationery and we'd have the uniform. It would never, they never ever uttered once, I don't want to get that. I don't want to go to school. I'm not getting my uniform. It was all lined up. Everything was ready to go. And then my poor daughter, like that, you'd open her door to go, right, you ready? It's time to go. And literally, physically shaking. She probably wouldn't have slept for barely a couple of hours during the night. Her head, she'd have a headache. She'd feel like vomiting. Mm-hmm. It'd be a panic attack. And the biggest thing is, I just think, I have the greatest respect for teachers. I think teachers are amazing and they work really, really hard. And I mean, I'm in early years education. I know it's completely different and the same at the same time. You're still dealing with, you know, the same sort of thing sometimes. But our last meeting where Alex actually came in with us to try and say, look, let's get it. Just please, can I come in for transition? Can you just put me in with one child I know, one friend, please, you know, whatever. And she mentioned that she felt she wasn't being helped when they said, look, we're all in here to help you. And she said, look, you're not. I had three panic attacks in this school and nobody helped me.
It's very, that's thing, so hard, Christine, for any parent to try and navigate this. And for unfortunately, we're out of time today, but we do want to come back to this and talk about it further, because there's more emails coming in from people trying to deal with school avoidance or school refusal, as Alwyn had described it as today. If you want to share your story with us, you can email us this afternoon, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Alwyn Moran, thank you for joining us today from the cogniclinic.ie. And Christine, thank you too for sharing your story.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.